Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
Well, that's bombshell news. My goodness. Well, I guess it's good that I have a three-hour radio show. Welcome to Political Coffee. Yes, I'm your host, Jeff Krupp, and you're not. Yeah, we're going to talk about a bunch of things. What's the bombshell news? Well, Liberty Daily is saying that Overstock CEO and founder Patrick Byrne says the FBI tapped him, asked him to bribe Hillary Clinton with an $18 million bribe on behalf of a foreign government as part of an FBI sting operation that Obama wanted back in 2016. He said this, I mean, and you watch the video, folks. And the FBI told him that Hillary Clinton had accepted a bribe from Turkey for $20 million. And that they were going to do this to set it up. And that Bill Barr and John Durham are aware of this. So he goes and does it, apparently, in early 2016. And a few days afterwards, the FBI told him, just forget the whole thing. Because she was poised to win the presidency and would retaliate against the Bureau. That's kind of big news, isn't it? It's on InfoWars. The only thing you can say to that is, wow. Here's what else we're talking about, and then I promised I'd get to the phones. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Rebecca's been holding on. I'll get to her in a moment. Or you can send me an email to jeff@1220.am. Like Corby did. About vaccines. He says, I'm just curious. Did you ever listen to the information I sent you about the virus a couple of weeks ago? I did. Scary. And all of this, in fact, the moral idea that you would take a vaccine, that at least one of them apparently has been made from aborted babies that have been aborted from those fetal cells, that you would do that if you're a pro-lifer. That's going to be tough to do, isn't it? Now, wasn't on the radar screen today. What I'm asking you today is to consider this. How would drastic action to save the Republic, how would it affect you? So I just laid out for you the piece in the American Thinker about how Mike Pence could, as the presiding officer on January the 6th, when the Senate and the House, like we talked about yesterday, when they come together to accept or reject the electors from the various states, how he could just say, I'm not going to certify it and gavel it down. It takes it to the, sends it to the House. The House, as we know, then would vote in favor of Trump, because every state gets just one vote, and there are more states controlled by Republicans than Democrats. And the Senate would likely reinstall Mike Pence as vice president. Now, what would happen is you would have massive upheaval. Folks, I'm telling you, that's why I asked the question, how would drastic action, what would that drastic action be to save the Republic, and how would it affect you? There would be rioting in the streets. All over America, folks. And the president would probably, as he's being urged to do today, General McInerney saying he needs to invoke the Insurrection Act, that we already have enough evidence. By the way, I just saw that Sidney Powell's Kraken lawsuit has been accepted by the U.S. Supreme Court. That means at some point, all of the evidence of this is going to be heard by the high court. Now, I'm going to get into why that's important, but it isn't the most important thing. In fact, your eyes need to be on something else. And even all of this stuff I'm talking to you about, this is important because this is real. It could happen. But if, as McInerney says, Trump needs to invoke the Insurrection Act, he needs to declare martial law, he needs to suspend habeas corpus. McInerney's saying this, folks, because the stealing of this election in the sophisticated manner of just changing the numbers within computers, just that alone justifies an accusation of high treason. He says it is high treason. Now, if there is martial law and things are locked down, you want to talk about affecting an economy? Do you have enough food and water? Seriously. Do you have enough food? Do you have enough toilet paper? This would disrupt your life big time. Is it even a remote possibility? Other things we're talking about, and I'll get to them, the Marion County Measure 110 vote, that recount happened, and apparently no dead people voted. That matches the results. It was only a partial recount. What about the illegal aliens? Did they check on that? Did they check on the, did they check to see if any dead people voted? That was the accusation. Did they check to see how many ineligible voters there are, like felons or people who didn't even live in these precincts? Maybe some who voted from out of state. Did they check that? I'm also going to predict to you this, that Oregon leaders are going to accuse at some point the U.S. Supreme Court of being racist after they strike down the unconstitutional and racist black-only COVID fund, right? Well, there's a CYA effort under, and in fact it's in the Oregonian, by Hispanic leaders who are being used to justify it. Because it's causing problems, folks, between minority groups. Because the federal lawsuit that will ultimately determine this thing is unconstitutional is being brought forward, at least one of them is being brought forward by a Hispanic woman. Also, Measure 11, a new poll out shows that Measure 11, which is the, if you go to jail for the prescribed time, you don't get out early thing. It's supported big time in Oregon, like 70%, folks. Yet the liberals want to weaken it again, just like they did in this last session with the help of some errant Republicans. That's the law that Senate Bill 1008, that allows teenage murderers and rapists to only serve a few years in jail and get out. They get out at age 25 instead of being tried as adults. It's the Kip Kinkle get out of jail bill. Well, they want to weaken it again by making the ridiculous argument that by weakening it helps the survivors heal. Yeah, right. All of that's on the plate today. We got two more hours to go. Let me shut up and get to Rebecca, who's been gracious to hang on. Rebecca, good morning. What do you say?
I actually am only so interested in what you're talking about that I don't know that I have anything much to contribute. But I called in because you were talking about that you thought the water would be fine. But I was thinking about when Obama fouled that river. He sent somebody and opened a sluice and in a mine, and that river was, I don't know, remember the name of the river, but the river was totally yellow because of the stuff that was in it. And
that did happen. That was a federal government action that literally polluted a river.
So anyway, it's really easy to foul the water, and I would recommend people liberally save their milk jugs and fill them with water.
That's not a bad idea anyway, isn't it? I mean, to have a couple of containers filled with water?
Yeah, we need to not be throwing away our milk jugs. Fill them with water. Just in case.
Fair enough. I mean, you've lived in places in the world where clean water was not so easy to come by.
Exactly. It's really easy to create the conditions in which there's not the things that keep people alive.
Do you think, Rebecca, you know, I am hoping and praying that Christians will rise up and pray greater than ever before, and more of them, that this country does not devolve and descend into chaos that would lead to the imposition of martial law. If it happens, what do you think is the outcome?
I hate to speculate. All over the world we see dictators trying to take over, and they've wanted to take America down for a long time. What concerns me right this minute is the lawlessness that's happening with people in tents along the streets, and I keep wondering, why do they all have such nice tents? Why are they allowed to camp out there? And I go past the one that's down there by the riverfront yesterday, and it was just strewn with all kinds of stuff. And if there was any desire to make our city function in lawfulness, they wouldn't be allowing the people to just camp out there and make it into a very dirty place. Now, years ago, they were serving meals under the bridge. And the city came in there and cleaned it all out and put bricks up there so that you couldn't serve the meals. And that was always a very orderly thing that happened, as far as I know. So the churches are being prevented from feeding the homeless. But these people, I feel like they have some kind of income because they just hang out there and they don't have any need for our bringing them meals. At least it doesn't appear to me that they do.
Yeah.
I keep thinking about Obama when he said that he was going to raise up a civilian force. And I keep wondering if they are the civilian force.
Now that would be interesting. Thanks, Rebecca. Appreciate your thoughts today. Back in a moment, folks. It's 7:20 in the morning. Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp. All right, at the bottom of the hour, Representative Mike Nierman's going to join us. That was a little bit unexpected, but I'm glad to have him today because I want to talk with him about what he learned in sitting down with the Polk County Clerk to talk about their vote tabulation machines and the software and all of that, and the recount that I guess the clerk has said we could do. So, yeah, away we go here. All right. Yes, Phil. I mean 7:30. I don't mean 6:30. Great to have you with us, friends. 23 minutes past the top of the hour. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. What will you do? What will you do? How would it affect your life if this whole election business gets to the point, because of what Mike Pence might do during this joint session on January 6th, if he just declares that, I don't certify any results, period, because of fraud. And Antifa and Black Lives Matters and the Democrats are rioting in the streets, and Trump declares martial law, invokes the Insurrection Act, suspends habeas corpus. People get arrested, they go to jail, and they don't get out. Mike Schmidt, social justice, Multnomah County DA. Seriously, what would you do? I mean, how would it disrupt your life? You know, this chop zone Chaz business, right? The Red House thing in Portland. Can you imagine what the Antifa leftists would do? Well, it would probably disrupt your life for a little while, but at what point, if you got martial law, you know what that means, don't you? Insurrection Act? The military is now out assisting law enforcement, arresting people, literally putting down a rebellion. Now, I went through the Insurrection Act, that one paragraph with you yesterday, right? Which is all about not just rebellion, but the inability of the courts or anyone else to enforce the law. Now, that could mean a lot of things. In fact, I'm looking at Liberty Daily right now, and here's the story called Guessing POTUS. SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States. Here's the headline. Do rulings depend on what John Roberts has for breakfast each day? No. It depends on how much stuff Hammer, the CIA program, how much blackmail and leverage they have on John Roberts. Because again, if you listen to yesterday's show, the guy who developed Hammer for the CIA, that guy says that they have been illegally surveilling American citizens, that Obama did it, along with John Brennan, his CIA director, and that they were surveilling something like 160 federal judges, Trump, and the Supreme Court, including Roberts and Scalia. Now, the SCOTUS rulings depend on blackmail and leverage. After all, it's how the swamp does things. Now, how would martial law impact your life? Now, set aside for the moment the idea that you got to have some food and water because things are going to be disrupted for a few days. What's the long-term implications of this? You think about the rhinos in the Republican Senate right now. Many of them do not want to be forced to vote if one senator objects on January 6th. They want Trump gone. They are willing to accept defeat. The surrender caucus is what they're called, because they know that they can still keep power. They know they can still get rich because of all the backdoor ways that senators and congressmen get rich at that level. And it's all ostensibly legal, folks. I'm just telling you, what's the long-term implication of it? You know, there's a story here on the Liberty Daily about Americans don't trust the U.S. government, especially with their data. Well, you know, Sidney Powell's Kraken lawsuit has now been accepted by the Supreme Court. It means that the evidence that I keep saying and we all keep saying has to come out is going to come out. They're going to present it to the court. The actual evidence of votes being changed. Now, this is where this business about scorecard comes into play. See, scorecard changes the votes during the transmission process. Literally, it's designed to do that. That's why it has to go, apparently, to CIA servers in Frankfurt and Spain, which were reportedly raided. Now, if all of this comes out, even though the deep state has said, well, we're not going to quite deliver that report on Friday like we're supposed to under the president's executive order and to Congress. Yeah, we're going to be, it'll be January. We're going to stall it off. There's a spiritual thing going on here. We'll get into that. But I've got Representative Mike Nierman coming up at the bottom of the hour here to talk about how votes get transmitted from Polk County to the Oregon Secretary of State. And could that still be corrupted? And a lot of other things that he learned, including the upcoming recount that you can help with. It's 7:30 in the morning. Back in a moment with Mike Nierman. Come on and sing my song.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
We are back, 7:36 in the morning. Great to have you with us on Political Coffee. It's the expanded three-hour version of Political Coffee now, where where I'm talking about the political issues of the day and how they impact your life. One of the things that we've talked about a lot, as you know, is, well, is voter fraud with machine manipulation, software manipulation, is all of that real? In addition to the devastating testimony yesterday in front of the U.S. Senate committee, about, you know, like 40,000 people voting twice, dead people voting, like thousands of dead people voting, illegal aliens voting, and all of the various legislatures now issuing subpoenas in Michigan and in Arizona to basically forensically examine these Dominion voting machines. Well, we thought that we ought to check in with Polk County. And joining us is State Representative Mike Nierman. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
No, I appreciate your willingness to not only do this. You sat down with your Polk County clerk to learn a lot and get a demonstration of the data from the tabulator and all of that. What did you learn?
Well, so it's very interesting. So I have a little bit of history with this. First of all, I'm on the committee that oversees the budget for the Secretary of State, and so in that capacity, I kind of have an oversight responsibility for elections and election security and the performance of that agency. So I take that very seriously. And then on the other hand, I'm a kind of a software expert. Back when I used to do honest work for a living, I was a software engineer. And so I kind of take this seriously. And so, you know, there's all sorts of questions about election fraud and everything kind of swirling around. And I'm really glad that in Polk County, at least, we have a very a very competent county clerk in Val Unger. She's not only competent, but she goes out of her way to be very transparent. And so I'm really happy about that. And just that in itself gives me a lot of confidence about the elections. So the machine they have is one of the that they use to count the ballots in Polk County. The machine they have is one of the Dominion family machines there. And we talked a lot about how things get accessed on the machine. So obviously you have to put ballots into it, paper ballots into it, and you get counts and everything on the other end on the way out. And so a few things like what can access it, and I didn't know this, but so I did know that it has a USB port on it, so it's not connected to the internet. It has a USB port on it, but it has to be a proprietary USB stick to put into it. In other words, it has to be made by the manufacturer of the voting machine. So you can't just go down to Staples and put your virus on a USB stick and sneak into the county clerk's office and plug it into the machine and win the election that way. So that it's got encryption on it that only that machine can decrypt. So it's so that's one level of security. So they have another layer that they do is the USB drive, the proprietary USB drive that they plug into the tabulator machine, is what they call the vote counting machine. They call it the tabulator. When they plug that in, they pull it out, they put it into a laptop, and the laptop itself never gets on the internet and doesn't interact with the outside world at all. They put the data on there, and then they use another USB drive to get the data off of there to go to a just a regular network computer that is on the internet and everything. So so they have a couple of different steps to do in there. That's not 100% foolproof, but it'd be awful hard to get something on there. One of the other questions that we had about the Dominion machine was updates. So because if you get an update from the manufacturer, that's a potential way that something could get into it or could get to the machine to influence the machine. And she said that they do get updates every now and then. I was a little bit surprised by that because I know that like election law changes and we do things like motor voter and now you get a free stamp and those kinds of things and felons voting and felons not voting and stuff. So the legislature changes the laws on elections here and there, but the actual act of counting ballots doesn't really change, right? So the names on the ballots change, but just to put a ballot in and to count them, that just doesn't really change. So it's kind of a little bit puzzling to me to hear that the machines had updates, but she described that there's a couple that the updates had a few things, one of which I was really interested in. So one of the updates that they did, and the last time they did updates was before the May primary. So they did an update which causes the machine to save an image of every single ballot that goes through. And I asked her offhand, I said, can I get a copy of those? And she said, yeah, sure. So I'm going to get an image of every single ballot in Polk County. When I say an image, I'm talking like a PDF picture of every single single ballot. So that's interesting to me. So
what would be your goal then in getting an image of every ballot?
Well, if I did that, I could do my own recount, my own hand recount of every single ballot there. And the other thing too is I could look for things like I found 600 ballots that all looked exactly the same, all looked like maybe they were filled in by a machine and all voted for Bob Smith or something like that. So I could look for kind of anomalies or irregularities like that. So I've seen ballots before. I've gone through stacks of ballots after elections before, and they all look like they were done by a human being. They look like they were done by a human being who is eating peanut butter and drinking coffee. So I when I see them, you kind of get a thing for, oh yeah, this was done by a human being, and human beings are kind of just okay at filling out ovals and not perfect about it. And so there's always something human about every ballot. So it'd be interesting to just look at them. That, and then the other thing that she said that happened in the update was a extra report that they got off to report on the batches that they do.
So, okay. So here's another question I have for you.
Sure.
I know that in Linn County, when they get an update, they have to recertify their machines. Does she do that also?
Yeah, so actually the update itself has to be approved by the Secretary of State, and then after the update's done, they have to recertify the machine. And she talked about certifying the machine, and they have a stack of test ballots that they use, and they recertify, or they test the machine several times. So they test it, like, before the election and right before the count and right after the count. And right after the right before the certification. So they, when I say certification there, I mean the county clerk certifying the election.
Right,
so
right. That the machine was accurate. That it was counting
right.
Accurate.
No. When I use the word certification there, I mean the act of the county clerk saying, yes, Bob Smith won this election. When they announce the winners in an official way. I meant that. But they test the machine with test ballots several times. I think there was like five times through the election that they test it. They actually say, okay, clear everything out. Here we go. We have this fake election. We put some fake ballots in and we get the actual result out. So
like they did in that
times.
County in Georgia where they fed the video of that. Have you seen that? They literally fed blank ballots into the Dominion voting machine and it came up with votes for Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Blank
yeah.
ballots.
I don't know.
All
I,
right,
actually, honestly, I've.
So let me understand this, because this gets to the CIA program known as Scorecard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Alleged CIA program. So you're saying that the special thumb drive that's encoded can only do this special handshake with the vote tabulator. That
right.
USB downloads all the information from the tabulator, and then it goes and it goes into another computer that then delivers it over the internet to the Secretary of State's office. Is that correct?
No. So the couple of things that I disagree with you on there. So first of all, you said that USB can only go in the tabulator. So there's a USB stick. The tabulator can only talk to its own proprietary USB stick. That proprietary USB stick can talk to the tabulator and can also talk to another computer, which would kind of have to make sense because you have to get the
sure.
stuff off of there and
sure.
put it on another thing. So then they have an intermediate computer. She called it the Chromebook. And that Chromebook, they take the tabulator-branded proprietary USB stick and put it in the Chromebook and take the data off of there. That Chromebook doesn't ever get on the internet. Then they take another USB stick, and this one is just purchased at Staples or whatever, something like that. She says they only use it one time, and then they throw it away. USB stick that they get the data off of that Chromebook and then put it on just a regular networked computer that has just normal security on
okay,
it.
Okay, and then they yeah. transfer that information over the internet to the Secretary of State's office. Is that correct?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. So the Scorecard program allegedly, during that transmission time, allegedly is when the Scorecard system literally changes the numbers.
Yeah, and it'd be reasonably easy to change the numbers at that time. You're just talking, the traffic is encrypted, so you'd have to get through that. If you're the CIA, I'm sure that they have ways to do that, but that's theoretically possible even with encryption. And to say, you know, Mike Nierman got 100 votes and Bob Smith got 50 votes, and just change that to Mike Nierman got 50 votes and Bob Smith got 100 votes could be done. Those are just numbers. You can just change them.
Yeah. All right. Mike, can you hang on through the break? Because I'd like to finish this up with you.
Yeah.
Talking with State Representative Mike Nierman and his visit with the Polk County clerk, what he learned. And we're going to talk with him about the opportunity that we have to do a recount ourselves. If you want to help with that, come on.
Love is a family.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It's 10 minutes till the 8 o'clock hour. One more hour to go of Political Coffee today in our expanded three-hour format. You can listen to the first hour only at 6 p.m. in the evening here on 1220 a.m. or 104.3 FM at 6 o'clock this evening. Before we go back to our interview with State Representative Mike Nierman about what he learned in sitting down and talking to the Polk County clerk, I want to remind you that this hour is brought to you by our friends over at Bill Sunderland's Country Financial. You know, these are kind of interesting times, and having a balanced financial life is really kind of important. You don't want to be overexposed in any one area. You know, Bill Sunderland can help you do that. It's the Sunderland Agency. If you want to talk to him about, you know, maybe reviewing what's going on in your financial world, give them a call at 503-885-0789. 503-885-0789. Check them out on the internet at sunderlandagency.com. That's Sunderland, S-U-N-D-E-R-L-A-N-D, agency.com. Representative Mike Nierman is with us. So, generally, Mike, you came away, what was your overall impression then of your time that you spent with your county clerk in Polk County, Val Unger, in your confidence level that the system at the local level is secure?
Good, and I'm glad you focused in on that. And so I have very high confidence that the system is very secure, that in order to hack into that and to make a change or something like that, that you'd have to be a very sophisticated person and you'd have to have very special access to that system there. And I think that that's going to be pretty far-fetched. So you'd have to have a very highly corrupt election official and in concert with a very smart computer person, and I think that combination is going to be pretty hard to come up with there, and nobody looking, and so that's going to be pretty hard to come up with. So that's just the system there. There's other parts of the whole voting process that I have questions about, and I almost think that our attention's better directed to those things. There's some things like that are legal, that are things that put their thumb on the scale that I have problems with. I think just vote by mail is just a put your thumb on the scale kind of thing, that whole system there. I think motor voter is a put your thumb on the scale system. You know, so there's some of those things. Ballot harvesting, that's a put your thumb on your scale on the scale system. All of those are completely legal. You can't arrest anybody for ballot harvesting. You can't arrest anybody for motor voter. You can't, you know, invalidate an election because of vote by mail or whatever. So so that's something that maybe needs to be taken a look at, but right now those are all legal things. I think there's another thing that we haven't really talked about, and that's voter registration in Oregon. So when we were talking about the vote system and all that, that depends on the paper ballots there being the right paper ballots. And there could be paper ballots that are added to that system. There could be paper ballots that are produced by people who aren't legal to produce those, i.e. ineligible voters. They're dead voters, whatever, or something. And there could be paper ballots that are taken out of the system. So that's, I think, where we have where we better spend our focus. And if honestly, I think that the biggest place where there's a flaw in the system, where the system's being exploited, is that plain old simple, I'll just say it, illegal aliens are registering to vote. So I'm going to be taking a look at that.
Well, so the 2018 ballots, the Val Unger, your Polk County clerk, has said that she will allow a group of us for no cost to come in and just do a hand audit of those ballots, correct?
Yeah. So let's be clear. So not a hand audit. We will be able to count the ballots. And when I say count the ballots, not say there's 57 sheets of paper here. We'll be able to say there's 57 sheets of paper here, and 30 of them voted for Bob, and 27 of them voted for Fred. We'll be able to recount the election, to do a hand recount of a of an actual election, of a 2018 election.
But not an audit that would allow us to look at signatures to see who might have voted ineligibly, like a felon or an illegal alien or someone who was dead?
So I don't know about the signatures, and I don't remember that being asked what they do. I think they throw away the signature envelopes after they validated the signature there. So we did talk about signatures quite a bit too. Now I can tell anybody who's voted, so anybody who's on the voter rolls, I can tell that they voted and actually when their ballot was recorded as coming in. So it's not exactly the exact same time it came in, but when they got it, scanned it to record it coming in. So I can find out who voted, and then we can look those people up.
Okay, all right.
Possibly find out if they're an illegal alien or whatever. As far as like the ballot rejection process, I have some suspicions there, because let's say if you're a unscrupulous election worker and your job is to match the signatures, you also get to see what party the person is in. And okay. So you say, oh, here's a signature. Oh, it's a Republican. No, that doesn't match. Oh, here's a Democrat. Yeah, that matches. Or so you could game the system like that. So what I've done is I have a record of every single rejected signature in the state, and they should, you would think that they would match party affiliation, that if whatever, let's say the state of Oregon's like 40% Democrat and 30% Republican, you'd think that the rejections would be 40% Democrat and 30% Republican, with the caveat that, and I want to tread gingerly on this, that possibly Democrats are stupider than Republicans, or possibly Republicans are stupider than Democrats, since there's a little thing, but it ought to across counties, the proportions ought to be the same, right? Do you follow me on that?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Right. We only have like a minute left, so you need to wrap it up.
Yeah. So those are some of the things that I'm looking at there, and I think this is an ongoing project, and I'm just trudging my way through the peanut butter here, and it's just an ongoing project that I'm happy to do. And if anybody has any ideas or wants to get involved, they can get a hold of me.
Well, actually, I have a group of people who are willing to take part in the recount effort. And when is that going to happen?
Probably fairly soon. I think she was talking about doing it after the start of the next year or something
okay.
like that.
Okay. So none of that data is going to be destroyed. It's all going to be there for us to work on.
Right. The actual paper ballots that the actual voters filled
okay.
out. Yep.
Mike, thanks so much for, first of all, getting on the air with us to talk about this, number one, but also for you being engaged in it. I know it's part of what you do as your committee work in the legislature, but also it's the right thing to do, because
yeah.
a lot of us have questions. And I think you
yep. and I take that
helped
seriously.
Us answer. Yeah. Thank you very much. State yeah. Representative Mike Nierman, appreciated, friend. All right, it's 7:59, one more hour to go. I'm going to get back into the topics of the day and take your phone calls. Don't go away. You're listening to Political Coffee.